And we're going to be starting in verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, down to the end of the chapter. And then we'll have a word of prayer and get into our message this morning. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Father, today, we just thank you so much that we have the blessed hope. Father, we have the blessed hope of your return. And we see, Father, what's going to happen when you come back, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for his children. We thank you for this first resurrection of the believers. And Father, I pray today that you would open up our hearts. You would open up our understanding. As you said here, be not ignorant of these things. Give us knowledge. Give us understanding. But most of all, Lord, give us preparation. That we would be ready for that wonderful day. If we are to depart and we leave this earth, Father, we know that our bodies one day will be resurrected and reunited, and we'll have our glorified bodies with you forever and ever. So, Father, help us today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, remember, Paul started this church, and I did not print this out for you, and when I sent something over here to the church, it was the wrong file. I'm sorry. But I want to get you that, definitely get you the file there that we're going to be using, that timeline. That way you can take it home and kind of dig into what the verses say there. And I think we'll be developing that week to week. So this church had just been founded. It was a new church. It was also being bitterly persecuted. Some of the believers were even dying. And perhaps some were being martyred, and Christ had not yet returned. So you have to think about this, what Paul was preaching and what he was teaching them. They're young believers. Think about when you were very newly saved and you didn't have much Bible knowledge. You probably had a lot of questions. And one of their questions would be this: would their loved ones who had died share in the resurrection when Christ returned? I mean, that's what they were asking. And isn't that a concern? Amen? Would believers be resurrected when Christ returned? What will happen to them? What will happen to their bodies? We know that our bodies, the bodies of believers who are living when Christ returns, will be transformed. That's over in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, in that whole resurrection chapter. But here it talks about that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. And it's very clear here that the Lord's going to descend. In verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the rapture. That's the word. The Latin word for caught up is rapture. That's why we call it the rapture. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. There's a lot in here. There's a lot in here, and I hope today that you are prepared to receive the Word of God. And so this question now remains: what's going to happen to those who are dead, who've already died, and they're not alive on the earth when the Lord returns? What's going to happen to them? And so that's what we're going to answer today in our message. Number one, the preparation for the resurrection. So we're preaching about the resurrection. Next week, we're going to be preaching about the rapture. Amen? The rapture. So I think of this, when we think about this passage, he says, letter A, be not unaware. Be not unaware. What does that mean? Ignorant. He says very clearly here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be unaware of the truths of God's word. Because think about how you feel when you don't know what's going on, when you go to a funeral. You know, funerals are very sorrowful times, are they not? And so Paul is giving very special revelation. We thank the Lord for the New Testament revelation concerning the resurrection and return of Christ. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mentioned that earlier. We see what Paul taught in the New Testament, and this was mystery. There's mystery doctrine throughout the whole New Testament, and the mystery doctrine, thankfully, today is not a mystery. Why? It's revealed. It was not known in the Old Testament, but today it's known by us. So it's not in the sense of being, it was unknown before, but revealed today. That's what a mystery doctrine is. And so he's speaking about, I will show you a mystery. Amen? And I don't think we're going to read all the verses, but let's just jump in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. What's the mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament? We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die. That's a nice word for speaking about death. Why? Because the soul's eternal. The body is just sleeping in the grave. And this is a wonderful thing. I hope as a believer you understand that cremation is not a good thing. You know, your body should lay in that grave, and this is a picture of going to sleep, your body's there, and then one day it'll be resurrected. You know, cremation has its roots in paganism. You know, annihilate, you know, the body. You know, just burn it. So I hope you understand, as a believer, you should choose being buried and awaiting that day. Because when they put you down in that grave and you'll be being resurrected out of that grave, your body's coming out of there, amen? You're just, your body's sleeping in that grave. That's it. Your soul is forever eternal and with the Lord if you're saved. So I hope we understand that. I'm not preaching on that today, but as a side note, we shall not all sleep. That means when the Lord returns in the first part of his return, because this is what we're going to learn next week about the rapture and then the revelation when he comes back to the earth to touch the earth. Now he's coming in the clouds, and that's what we're going to learn about next week. So what's going to happen to us if we're alive? He says we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to be put buried, but we shall all be changed. That's that transformation, amen? Isn't that an amazing thing? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you can't even measure that on a timer, amen? That's how quick it is. It's milliseconds or, you know, whatever. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's that first resurrection. Their bodies are coming out of that grave, and their bodies are going to be incorruptible, meaning they're going to be putting on their glorified body. Then we which are alive will be changed into our glorified body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's an amazing thing. That's the mystery about it. Those which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he says, verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. How corruptible is our bodies? You know, think about your body. Think about if you don't bathe. How corruptible is the body? You know what I mean? Yeah, we're corruptible physically, but we're corruptible spiritually too. I mean, that flesh, that sin. We need to put on incorruptible. Our bodies are going to live forever and ever. That glorified body, is we're going to be like him, the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to be like him. That's a wonderful thing. How did Jesus go up in his glorified body? We're going to be like him. Amen? So I'm looking forward to that wonderful thing. So when you think of Paul's revelation and what Paul taught, we also see what Jesus taught. Amen? Go to John chapter number 5. Everything fits together like a glove in the Bible. Amen? It's perfect. It all dovetails. It's all unified. It's all in harmony. John chapter 5, verses 24 to 29, Jesus spoke about the resurrection. And there's an interesting verse here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 24, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Amen. That happens in this life. Spiritual life, and you're passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man." He's the perfect Son of God. He's the perfect Son of Man. Amen. He took on a human body and he lived a perfect life. So he's going to judge us. Amen. "Marvel not at this, for the hour coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Now look at this. I want you to understand there's 1,000 years between these phrases. At least 1,007 years. 1,007 years. "They that have unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." That's in Revelation chapter 20. So there's the resurrection of life at the rapture, and there's the resurrection of damnation. All the unbelievers, we're talking about the resurrection of the believers, all the unbelievers will be resurrected there at Revelation chapter 20 to be judged at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. So there's 1,007 years between these phrases. So we have to understand. Let's go over to John 11. Remember when Lazarus died? And that's where the Lord said, he sleepeth. And they're like, "What? Are you crazy?" So we pick up the story in verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Isn't that amazing? She did have faith. She said, you know, if you ask God, he'll give it to you. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That's a wonderful thing. She understood. Amen. "Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" That's the point, brethren. When you take your last breath, and when you close your eyes for the last time, you are in eternal life. You're not in eternal death. You know, death doesn't have any hold on you. So don't look at death this way. Don't look at death as like a departed loved one who's saved. They just stepped into eternity forever and ever with the Lord. That's what it says, forever and ever with the Lord. So I think we have to get our minds all corrected, amen? and cleanse, because sometimes we get all confused about these things and we're like, oh, you know, fall apart at every turn of the corner, right? But let's get grounded in the Word of God. Let our faith be found in the Word of God. Let us be strong in faith. Just like even, you know, they had questions, but they didn't doubt the Lord, did they? And so Jesus said, I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, do you believe this? You'll never die. And then she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe, verse 27, that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so said, she went her way and called Mary, and saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And then so we see jumping down. I don't have all this laid out in here, but we know the shortest verse in the Bible. Amen. Verse 34, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. There's nothing wrong with weeping and mourning for the lost. You know, it's a sad thing, and you go through that grieving period. We're not talking about that. We do understand. And then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused it, that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Corruptible must put on incorruption. Amen. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Aren't you, just think if he just said, come forth, all the graves would have opened up. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith, loose him and let him go. So you see the power of Christ, and he is showing, you know, he is the resurrection. He is the life. And he taught on the resurrection, and he showed people, look, I'm going to raise up the dead. And he proved this with the power that he had over death. Amen. So I want you to see that we are not to be unaware, but also be not unhappy. Be not unaware, but be not unhappy. He says, go back to our text, that ye sorrow not. That ye sorrow not. So brethren, there's an understanding of Scripture, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Be not unaware, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as other which have no hope. Certainly, we do know this, ignorance of truth can produce unnecessary sorrow. They can be joyous about this resurrection. They can be joyous about the return of the Lord. And we all have attended funerals, and we stand before the casket and gaze into the cold, calm face of the corpse, and we confront the terrible finality of death. But think about this. For those who are outside of Christ, death is final, cold, cruel, callous, utterly uncaring. It's ugly. It's menacing. It's inescapable. Paul calls it the last enemy. When it arrives, it's all over for those outside of Christ. As believers, though, we have the consolation of the Word of God. Amen. We have hope, and we have happiness because of the Word of God. We have joy. Aren't you thankful here that God deliberately describes death for the believer as sleep. Amen. Our loved ones are only asleep. A reference this is to the state of the body. The soul does not sleep. There is no such thing as soul sleep. The body does. The soul is eternal. The soul never gets tired. It never gets old. It never gets ill. It never sleeps. The body of the departed believer is asleep. Amen? Amen. We're going to continue on that here in a minute. Funerals can be sad because unbelievers have no hope. But believers are only asleep. But we're not to be. Think about this, brethren. Be not unaware. Be not unhappy. But be not unconcerned. You know, sometimes it baffles me that how we are not concerned about our spiritual ignorance. You know, we're just kind of, we need to be very concerned about our ignorance on any Bible doctrine. That's how serious the Word of God is. We should be so concerned. I think, aren't you thankful here? They were concerned. They were asking questions and they wanted to know some truth. And we need to, what do we know about the resurrection? You know, what do we know about the return of Christ? They were asking questions, not out of concern, not out of curiosity. Isn't that sad today? Many people are just, oh yeah, I want to learn this and I want to learn that, out of curiosity. But not because they want to get right with God, not because they're concerned for their soul and their spiritual well-being, but just because they want knowledge. No. We need to know about the end times out of concern, not out of curiosity. Because we want to be prepared. We want to be ready. We want to do all we can before the Lord returns. So there should be an urgent concern, not just with the Thessalonian believers, but with us today. Amen? So I want you to see, we see the preparation, but we see also the prerequisite to the resurrection, verse 14. We need to be ready for this resurrection. Why? He says, for if, you see that? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them, so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's two things we need to understand. We need to believe, first of all, in the death of Christ, and we need to believe in the resurrection of Christ. This points back to the gospel. Amen? We're saved by the power of the gospel. Do we believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Have you repented of your sins? Have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you? We also see the resurrection that Jesus died and rose. Amen? He rose again. And Jesus rose again to give us eternal life. Think, he's eternal. He conquered death. And when you receive him, he gives you his life, eternal life. Amen? And the Bible says that he's proven to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection, Romans 1:4. Because he rose from the dead, we will rise again from the dead. Amen? Amen. The prerequisite is believing in the death, but we also see the promise. The promise in verse 14. It says, I like, just break it down a little bit. He says, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. With him. So we see a couple important points in this verse. Departed saints are asleep in Jesus. Amen? It says it right here. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus. And so we do understand the scriptures. Go to Luke chapter number 16. Now, one thing about Luke chapter 16 that you should understand, it's not a parable. It's a real story. Because in parables, the Lord doesn't mention names. You don't have particular persons mentioned. But here, There was a certain rich man, verse 19, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. He was a real person. Not the Lazarus of John 11. It says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, before Jesus led captivity captive, you had Abraham's bosom and you had hell. This is what the Bible says. You had paradise and hell. And so what did it look like? Well, the beggar went to Abraham's bosom where the saved were. Amen? And so it tells us a little bit about this. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. This rich man, because he wasn't saved, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. So here they are, separated. And Lazarus, he saw Lazarus and Abraham, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, think about that. He still had his desires. You know, the drunkard's still going to want his liquor. The pothead still going to want his pot. The crackhead, the crack. You know, the adulterous man still wants his adultery. But never that desire will ever, ever again be fulfilled for all eternity. And they're in fire. They're in the flames. But Abraham said, verse 25, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. Amen. But thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. So there's a great gulf between Abraham's bosom and hell. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. You know what? Sometimes, and this is sad, there's more concern in hell than there is in a Baptist church for lost souls. He says, I have five brethren that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He understood repentance, didn't he? They will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one raised from the dead. And that's what I say today. People don't want to hear the word of God. All they want is miracles. They want to see signs. But if you don't hear the word of God, what good does a sign do to you? It's not going to save you. So we see this separation. We see Abraham. We see Lazarus. This is a reality. Jesus led captivity captive. Now they are in heaven with Jesus. Amen. But we see here the reason it's death is because we see the soul is very conscious after death. It's not soul sleep, you know, that you don't exist anymore, there's annihilation. No, these are all false doctrines of the devil. And so departed saints are asleep. Thank God for that term. And departed saints are with him. Amen. Departed saints are with him. So when Jesus, go back to our text, you remember that? It says very clearly there, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he returns. So they're with him. So right now, please understand, departed saints are with Christ. They are living with him face to face. And God will bring departed believers with him when he returns. They are with him now. This is what the scriptures clearly Teach, remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross in Luke 23:43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What did Paul say? Flip over to Philippians chapter 1 there. It's close by, so we might as well look at it. Philippians chapter 1, Paul is in that struggle and not knowing when he's going to die, right? He's in prison right here. And he says in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, if you live for Christ, dying is gain. What a reward. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I what not? He's in this decision, you know, he's struggling with, okay, do I want to keep living or do I want to die? Some people get to that point, amen? He says in verse 23, but let us know of this. If you're saved, he says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to what? Be with Christ. So he realized God said, you know, when you die, you're going to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen? Amen. Don't think that death, you know, you're going to be with Christ. And it's far better than you can ever imagine. Amen? Amen. And so let's not hold on to this world too closely, and don't get our grips too tight on this world, because being with Christ is far better. Amen. Then he says in verse 24, and obviously we go back and forth, nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Why? And having confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And then he's saying, I want to be with Christ, but I know if I stay here, I'm here to minister to you and to help you grow in your faith, and I will continue in that battle as well. So this is his understanding, and we know it is by revelation of Jesus Christ. Departed saints are asleep. Departed saints are with Christ, and departed saints will rise first. Look at verse 16 in our text. So when this resurrection takes place, they're going to rise first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, brethren, the next thing on God's calendar is the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then at that, I know it's going to almost seem simultaneous, but God has an order here. Then we which are alive are going to be caught up with them. We're going to go up with them, amen? And they're going to be putting on their in a moment and twinkling eye, their incorruption, their incorruptible body, and then we are going to be changed in a moment and twinkling in our incorruptible body, amen? Our glorified bodies, and we're going to be with him. This is wonderful. Their souls are with him now. Their body's going to be with him. Our body and soul will go with him, amen? This is the order. Why will dead believers be first to be caught up to meet the Lord? And I think we have to answer because of God's love and care. Amen. They should be first. Amen. Because they've already passed down through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. They've already passed through that. Why not give them first in line? Amen. It is the very nature of Christ to show tenderness and love to those who suffer the most. Remember, Jesus wept. Therefore, they who have suffered the awful fate of death shall be first to meet the Lord in the air. Only departed believers will arise at this time. No unbeliever will be resurrected, not at this point. Only the dead in Christ will be, and that's what I was talking about, that resurrection of life and that resurrection of damnation. I'll show you that in a moment. And so it is. Believers are already with the Lord. Their spirits, their souls, their bodies are being raised and transformed. And I like what it says. What does it say in the text? continue on. Says in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be with them to meet them, meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be with the Lord forever. Just think of that day when the Lord says, come forth again. All of the atoms of a person's body, no matter where the various parts of a person's body may lie, will come together. Amen. Will come forth. The atoms of a person's body will be transformed to a structure, an eternal and perfect body. Isn't that amazing? What God's going to do. Now, we which are alive and remain will be caught up right after that. There will be a glorious transformation of our bodies, just as the Bible says. And those bodies that have decayed in the earth, we're going to be transformed like them. And our bodies will be transformed just like their bodies. And next week, we're going to learn about the rapture of the believers. But the question today is this: are you going to participate in the first resurrection? This is the resurrection of the believers in Christ. The last resurrection. Go to Revelation chapter 20. And it's an amazing chapter, amen. God's order of events. And so we see in verse number 4 and 5, just so you see, verse 4 to 6, it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, that which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Which one? The ones that were raised to live with Christ and reign for him 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then the 1,000 years are expired. Satan is loose. We see all this. Jump down to verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. That's the final resurrection. That's the resurrection of damnation. And it takes place at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We need to be spiritually